Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California, and we are in Luke chapter 8. Get your Bible, grab a cup of coffee, and come and join us.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
And the last context we read, are we done in that one? What was that context again?
That was the context of
We went from chapter 8, 4 through 8, and then we read 9 through
15.
So we read about the parable, and the parable explained.
Well, you know what's interesting about this 9 through 15? The parallels to these are found in Matthew 10 or 13, 10 through 15, Mark 4, 10 through 12, and Luke 8, 9 through 10. And about why Jesus spoke to them in parables. And this is what it says in Luke 13, 10 through 15. I'm just going to read a few verses. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And answering said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven." And then it goes on and says in Mark 4, 10 through 12, "And when he was alone," so that's the secrets of the kingdom of the heavens in the plural. And some of the translations say heaven, but the Greek is in kingdom of the heavens. And then Mark 4, 10 through 12, "And when he was alone, those who were about him with the 12 asked him concerning the parables, and he said to them, 'To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God.'"
And in Luke, it says kingdom of God also.
Yeah. "To you, as disciples asked this parable, to you has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God," these mysteries. "And to those outside," now in Mark, it says, "To those outside is everything in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn again and be forgiven." And also it says that same thing in Matthew, to it in a way. "This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. With them, indeed, it is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand. You shall indeed see, but never perceive.'" This is not in Mark or Luke. It's just in Matthew. "For this people's heart has grown dull." He says this right off the bat in Matthew. And he doesn't have to repeat it again.
"The heart is dull." It said that about their heart.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
The heart has grown dull. Their cardia. "Their ears are heavy of hearing. Their eyes have been closed, lest they should perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn to me to heal them." That's all said in Matthew. He does not repeat that statement.
Oh, in Luke, it says that seeing, this is how it says in Luke, "That seeing they may not see, and hearing may they not understand." Now, that's a lot of detail right there,
but
in Matthew.
That's the least amount of details.
Yes.
But it misses this one thing. It adds here that's not in the other ones, and it says, "So that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn again and be forgiven," in Mark.
Wow.
That is an interesting, again, that's service. That's the
be forgiven.
That's the step of servitude. And that first one is the step of knowing that Jesus is the King. And so here it gives some details to for us to be able to serve in God's kingdom and what the order of things are in this kingdom. And it really explains this right off the bat, that if we spend time alone with Jesus, he's going to describe in detail and help us to understand what he is saying. He'll explain all the parables. But to those that don't become a disciple, they will not understand any of these parables. They have to put themselves under Jesus' instruction, and he'll explain all these. And it lays that all out in those three Gospels.
You have to come to him like children, and you know, really, what is it? It says you got to be like an infant, right? In your thinking, what does an infant know?
Or a little child.
Or a little child. They don't know really anything that they ought to know.
Unless you become I think it's a little paidon, which is a little child.
The only thing that it's said in Mark that we haven't said this time is that he says to them, "Know you not this parable? How shall you come to know all the parables?" So he's saying, if you understand this parable, it's a key. The knowledge that you learn within this parable will explain all the other parables to you. It's the first one to understand. And that's the only one he said that in. Not the Matthew, not the Luke, but he said that in Mark.
Yes. Hear then the parable of the sower, and Mark is when that says that. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, and that is the foundations, the logon, the foundation principles of the kingdom, and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. So this is actually talking about either understands the image of Christ or the foundation principles. So those are pretty much the major principles in this, isn't it? These mm-hmm. are the major things that you really want to know about. So the next one is Luke 8, starting in 16 to 18. Next context.
And no one, when he hath lighted a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but puts on a stand, and those entering in may see the light. For nothing is hid that shall not be made manifest, nor secret that shall not be known and come to light. Look out therefore how you hear, for whoso has, to him shall be given, and to who has not, from him shall be taken away even what he thinks he has.
Not only what he has, but even what he thinks he has.
That's challenging.
Isn't that an interesting statement?
Yeah, that's a really interesting statement.
Even going to be taken away what he thinks he has. So what'd you get out of that, Brett? So what's the main subject here? Isn't it talking about the lamp? The word of God is a lamp unto my feet?
I was just looking at the lamp and the light. I mean, the whole purpose of a lamp is to bring about, you know, light. You know, you put your lamp in your room, you turn the lamp on, and so that you can light up that corner so things are visible. I mean, that's really basic, but he's talking about people. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a container or puts it under a bed. Is that, that's where we're at, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Verse 16 to 18.
So he's telling him, like, this is what you're supposed to do with the lampstand. You're supposed to put it up in a place that is visible. And that's like people.
Well, also it says nothing's going to be hidden. When the light comes on, nothing's hidden. Everything's visible. Everything in that room is visible. So this is the first thing that happens after a person is born again, born from above. The light goes on. Did you notice that in your life when all of a sudden you're Holy Spirit filled and everything starts making sense. Everything you read, there's always something in the scriptures, in the context. If you read through the Bible that year, it seems to be that there, every day there'll be something that'll pop off the page, it'll come to light.
And God's adding to what you know. He's adding more and more, like shows you a picture, and then you, later you can see more of that picture, that piece grows.
When you read one of the Psalms every day, and when you read a context going through the scriptures, there'll be one thing that will, you'll think about that day. And some things will show you that you've done some things wrong, and what do you do that day?
You got to change your mind.
Make some adjustments.
Yeah.
So this is one of the biggest evidence when you go into the holy place. Here's the sequence. If you walk in the light as he himself is in the light, then you have fellowship or communion with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sins. So first thing that happens after you've been born up or born from above is walking in the light. That's the very first activity you will notice. Can you think back to that very beginning day or that very beginning week when the light went on?
Concerning like salvation?
How about the words in the Bible were just words and all of a sudden they jump off the page, they become living?
Oh, yeah. It was the very day that God sent somebody to explain these things. And I don't know how long until I was baptized, but the very day it became like God was saying, hey, this is, you know, this is 3D, this is living. And there were things that I've never seen before, never things that I would have never have put together and maybe never have considered about what he says about his word. Those things had to be shown.
How about you, Andy?
I was thinking about that. I had a different reaction in a way, but the same. My wife told me that I sat in a chair all weekend and didn't hardly get up at all. She'd never seen me be that quiet or settled. She said, you just sat there and looked out the window.
Probably taking things in.
Yeah, just was like, and I remember one day, not after long after I was baptized, I read through the whole, if you can believe this, I read through the whole book of Isaiah in one sitting.
That's 66 chapters.
It's 66.
One thing about Isaiah, though, the chapters are not extremely long, but there's a lot of meat in them. There's a lot of stuff in there.
And it was, I think I'll read through this one. I decided to read through that one. I mean, why that one? I have no idea.
I know exactly why. Did you know that there are 66 books in the Bible?
Well, you mean it's like, okay.
There are 66 chapters in Isaiah. It is actually an outline on the whole Bible. You won't see it.
You mean?
You'll go looking for it. You won't see it right away.
So what you're saying is it's like I read the whole Bible.
You got a synopsis of the Bible, certain points.
Oh, my.
Psalms is the most quoted book into the New Testament from the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament. Isaiah is the second most. So you're getting a lot of New Testament.
That you don't even know. I
mean,
I didn't
know
any of this.
Don't even realize. Isn't, that's the second most.
I didn't know any of this, but that's what I really did. And I hadn't been a couple weeks, and I sat and read through all of Isaiah.
You've never told me this before.
No.
But this is things we
found
out.
You had me thinking back. You said, go back, think. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that is fascinating. Because you were actually reading an overview of the whole of the Bible and the important points. The 40th chapter, let's take for instance, the Old Testament has 39 books in it. So the 40th book in the Bible is Matthew, and the 40th chapter of Isaiah says, "Behold, I send my messenger before my face."
There he is, Matthew.
There's
3.
John the Baptist.
Matthew 3. One crying in the wilderness.
One crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And then the 66th book, the last book of the Bible, is Revelation, and it tells all about the last two chapters in Revelation, the 66th book,
it really
the new heaven and the new earth.
So in thinking like that, then Isaiah 40, 41, 42, and 43 is what we're doing. We're in Isaiah 42 right now. No, I didn't know that, but I did do that. And my wife asked me that, what are you reading through all that for? I said, I don't know, I'm just reading it. I mean, and that's about as much I remember about it.
Did you know that that light is not found in Matthew? The thing about the light, that's not the lamp, is not found in Matthew 13. It's found in Mark, and he said to them, is a lamp brought in and put under a bushel or under a bed and not on a stand? And in Luke 8:16 through 18 says, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand that those who enter may see the light. And what's interesting, those stands are the seven spirits of God. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon you. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Isaiah 11, you read that, verses 1 and 2.
Right.
Okay, the next in Luke is chapter 8 again, verses 19 through 21.
And his mother came unto him and brethren, and could not come at him for the crowd. And it was reported to him, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, wishing to see thee. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brethren are these that hear the word of God and do it.
This sounds a lot like Mark 3, doesn't it? Jesus is in his house, and people are sitting around him in a circle, in a kuklo circle.
Yeah.
Not like pews where the minister's at one end, and if you're seeing this crowd and you're away in the back, all you see is the back of everybody's head, and you see the minister face on. In this scenario, it shows a picture of a home Bible study, and Jesus is in the middle. What this is saying is he's got to be the center of all your conversations, right? He's in the middle. And then there are people all around. Doesn't mean you sit that way, but you do. So let's say if we sit in a circle and Jesus is in the middle and you can't see him, but is he still there in your mind? Is he really in the center of your conversation? Well, yes. And you're thinking about him? Yes. And so everybody is sitting around in a circle where Jesus, the head, is invisible. He's not here with us today. He'll come back. But, you know, like if somebody is gone and you're speaking for them, they're there, you know, in spirit. They say that. Well, Jesus is there in spirit, and you're looking at one another's faces. You can see their reactions. You can see there some. Brett, what did you just do with your head?
I nodded my head.
Yeah, you can't.
You can't tell.
A head nod on the radio, can you?
No, but you can see me nodding my head,
and I can see you smiling right now, Brett.
Yeah,
big smile. He's got a beard and a mustache, and he's laughing right now because I just uncovered him. The real Brett and Andy. I can see him too. We can look at each other eye to eye, and if I goof up, they make little signals to me, because we can actually, if something is being said a little off, we can kind of signal to each other, Or we can just stop and record again or whatever, but there's that safety in numbers, and everybody has a say in this. I like the group setting, and I like the group setting where everybody's talking.
It gives you a chance to maybe ask the questions that are on your mind. And, you know, that when you're part of a larger, like, denominational church setting, you're kind of a number, and you know, you show up and sit in the pews. And I never really saw that interaction of somebody raising their hand to ask maybe the guy, the minister up at the stage, up, you know, looking above all the people, never asking a question for him. And I've personally been in a situation where I tried to ask that person that question, and they pushed me off to a bunch of other people. So in this case, we're here together, we're reasoning through the scriptures together, and we are having a conversation about these things, eye to eye, and learning together.
Now, what's fascinating about this is this group is together, and let's see, he's in a crowd. They came to him. They couldn't get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, the mother and brethren stand without. I think the crowd was around the house, and there were people in the house, and they were without. And he said about this, the group of people around him, he says, "Behold, my mother, singular, and my brethren, plural." So the group, each one of them in this group is a brother, and as a whole, it's his mother. That's his family. His mother, Mary, was—
Just the way the sentence structure
the
says
The way the sentence structure,
says it.
And it really agrees. It's the same exact thing in
my
Mark
mother
3.
And my brethren.
Yeah.
Oh, that's quite good, Gil.
Yeah.
Because the other one says it's not clear like that. It said the same as my brother, sister, and mother.
Yeah.
But this one says my mother statement. And the brethren.
In Mark chapter 3, what verse there, Andy?
Mark 3, 35. It says that, it's not as clear, but this is crystal clear. He's talking about my mother.
And they were hearing the foundations, the logon, the image of Jesus. It's Jesus talking. Guess what he's telling them? His heart and his mind. And being God, he knows where to start with people. He starts in Matthew. He knows where to start. You don't see this scenario in Mark. You see it, pardon me, you don't see this in Matthew. You see it in Mark 3.
Opening it.
It's not at the beginning. You see it in the Mark, the book of servitude. Now these servants are learning, and then they're going to go out. Did you notice how he was with them? They learned some things, they would send him out. They'd be with him, learn some things, he would send him out. So you don't learn at one time, and then you're sent out and you know it all. Did you notice also they learn something, he sends them out. But then you can only do so much, so you got to go back and learn some more, and then they send him out.
Mm.
And you keep growing. So it's two ways. One thing, you need time with Jesus at his feet, and then you can go out and practice things. And when you practice, that's when you really start learning. And you're going to make some mistakes, right?
Yeah.
Do you know of one person in the Bible Jesus is not corrected? Except for he doesn't correct the women so much. And that's... That disturbs me because I'm a guy. Why always us? Maybe women are softer and they already have that servant's heart. And it seemed like the men kind of stumbled a bit, didn't it? They were packed with knowledge, but they weren't. There were some women that just didn't seem to get corrected so much. But I think with the men, what he's showing by correcting the men is there's no one perfect except for Jesus. He was very clear to show, so you wouldn't worship a man, that everyone had their faults. Moses had his day. David had his. We all had our, you know, particular thing. So you don't worship any. And that's why we don't teach a man. You teach the Lord what the Lord did. And I teach people that respect God. And I follow them as they follow the Lord. That's what Paul said, follow me as I follow. And you can kind of line people up that are walking with God, and you'll see Jesus in front of them. You'll always see Jesus in front of them. You quit seeing Jesus in front of them, going towards Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus, I would say, because they'll be in the way. They'll be in that safe way, and some people are ahead of us. So you'll see men of God ahead of you that are do some things better than you do.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed that in your life, Brett?
Yeah. I'm glad that there's a scripture that talks about he who practices righteousness is righteous just as Jesus is righteous.
Doesn't mean you're perfect.
Doesn't mean you're perfect. And that kind of gives me a little bit of like, okay, be nice to yourself, Brett. You know what I mean?
And I think that's another trouble men have is we get a bit hard on ourselves.
Yeah.
Probably because we need to do a point, but not to overdo it, not to think too much about ourselves. Move on. Like my wife used to say, moving on. Knock it off. Move on.
Mm-hmm.
Next problem.
Something I did want to point out here. I don't know if we had already done that, but my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. There's that big two-letter word again. But he couples it with hear and do. So you have to be able to listen to it and to be able to hear what he's saying, know the information, and then change your mind about it and do it.
There's an individual I'm thinking about right now that's having a bit of a tough time. And I've noticed about this particular person that they don't spend enough time hearing because they answer. Sometimes they actually don't want to hear any words come out of you. They want to go, let me say all this first. And they interrupt and they don't take time to hear. The person that really needs to listen and not tell people and give his state his case. They need to hear. So hearing means you got to be quiet and you got to pay attention. And really, it's probably good to watch the person's face, not to turn your back, to really, and then give it space.
Mm-hmm.
Get you that person that has to change their mind. God gives us space to repent. So that person needs to not spend that space time making up excuses. Excuses are actually veiled lies. You ever thought of that?
I have never heard of that before.
It's one of the worst lies there is. It's a premeditated lie. An excuse is. So hear and do. Great comment.
Hmm.
And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.